I'm excited. I was kind of nervous when I got here. I was trying to decide what to preach. I was still on the edge of between two messages, and then Tim got up here and read what he read, and the son, it set right in the place with one of the messages I was arguing in my mind with. So I'm just going to run with it as fast as I can. Joshua chapter number 6, starting in verse 6, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark. The priest going on and blowing with the trumpets, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And when it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for me blessing. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross for the next couple of minutes. Lord, help us be a help. Lord, help us encourage the people, the children of God, Lord, for that. That's only you can do that. Lord, we do thank you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. In verse number 6-9, it says, I'm going to reread it. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. I see he went out to prepare, and with the Lord's help this morning, I like to preach when the last trump sounds, when the last trumpet sounds. And I see that he went to prepare. I see in these verses that Joshua was beginning to prepare for war, to prepare for the march around Jericho. Just like several years ago, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to prepare our home in heaven. He prepared the earth in 6 days. And you can look around and see how beautiful God created the earth, the trees, the animals, everything. You look at the mountains, the nature of what God created, it's all beautiful. But Jesus so far has spent 2,000 years on a place called heaven that he's going to prepare for me and for you, where there's mansions for me. But that ain't nothing. We're going to see Jesus that day. He's going to prepare. And the biggest hope and the blessed hope that we have is not in heaven, but it's Jesus, the one that created it all. But he's going to prepare. And Joshua said, I'm trying to get everything in order because God's in order. I'm glad that God is still in order and he's still in charge. He's taking his time. He's saying, well, I believe that the children of God's going to like it if we do put something to heaven this way. It's going to look beautiful. What we don't understand is None of us has ever seen something so beautiful in our life. We're not prepared to see what God has prepared for us in heaven because we ain't never seen nothing like it. He spent so long preparing, and He's still preparing. I'm reminded in the Scripture, and this is where Tim read John chapter number 14, verse 2. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I'm glad that He went and prepared. He made it personal in the Scripture. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He's talking to the saved. He's talking to the children of God. And when you read that, you read it the same way I do. "I go to prepare a place for you." I'm glad there's preparation in the place that I'm going. I'm glad that Jesus is over the preparation. If you ever notice, if you ever prepare and you let God and Jesus prepare the things in your life, they always turn out better on the other side of that thing that He prepares. But He's doing it by Himself, preparing the land, my homeland, that's far away, that I'm destined to go because of the blood of Jesus. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm glad that He went to prepare a place for me. But I also see in verses number 10, we know not when. In verse 10 it says, "And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither your mouth, until the day I bid you. Shout, then shall ye shout." I see that we know not when. And the Joshua Jericho did not know when they were going to become destructive. They were going to come down and fall down. But in verse 1, it says in Joshua, it says, "Now Jericho was straightly shut up, but they were very afraid." That's what they were doing. They were shutting themselves up because they were afraid of what to happen, what was going to happen. They seen the children of Israel coming. They heard about the spies entering into Jericho. They said, "I don't know what's going to happen, but we better shut up the doors. We better lock everything because something bad's about to happen to Jericho." But they didn't know when. But I'm glad Rahab, you see that the people that was in Jericho was fearful. They were scared, but there was one person in there that was unbothered. She was not bothered that her city that she grew up in was about to get destroyed because she had hope. Yes, sir. Them two spies walked up to her and said, "I'm giving you my word. We will be back to get you." And she said, "Whoa, I'm okay. Everybody else is freaking out, but I've only got one job to do, and that's to get my family in here." She said, "I ain't got nothing to worry about. I've got Jesus. And He said He's coming to get me. I ain't got nothing to worry about." You just think about the way, if a lost man was to hear this message, it would begin to fear him, because men like to know things and women like to know things. They like to be in control of what's going on, but they don't know what time. And if we was to know what time He was coming, how much would that affect your life with Christ? I'd say if we knew He's coming about 5 o'clock this evening, how busy would you be? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." We don't know when, but we do know that we have a promise that He's coming back to get us. For the saved, I'm glad that our hope, sometimes we don't act like it. We look like the most pouting people in the whole world. You can see the people that you go to church with, and I promise you, half the time they look like this. "I don't want to be at the grocery store." And they see somebody come, they turn around, "Hey man, I'm telling the truth right there." But we need to be happy. We deserve to be happy. I'm just trying to lighten the mood, man. It's tighter than I don't know what in here. I'm telling you, we got something to smile about. But we let our flesh take, aren't we? We act like a bunch of 3-year-olds when they're about to cry. Hey, man. We don't know when, but we do know that He promises that He's coming. And this is the point that I really want to stick on, and the last two points is what I want to stay on. That's why I tried to speed through it to get to these. In verses number 11 through 14, it says, "So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning. And the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord. The priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, there came past the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days." I see the warning coming from God, the warning that's coming upon. And if you look into that, in that time, they were walking around. They're saying, "Hey, we're coming. We're about to destroy the city. We're just waiting on God to tell us when, and we're going to destroy it." But we got a great warning going on in our city and in our nation today of sin being rampant, of alcohol being accepted, of cussing being an everyday talk, dirty language and dirty quotes is being accepted. You can hear it on TV. Me and Dad and Tammy and Isaiah tried to watch 3 Christmas movies last night, and every single one of them said a cuss word, so we had to cut it off. Man, I'm telling you, cussing is an everyday habit. Alcohol is okay and accepted. Drugs is okay. Alcohol is so big now that whenever you cut on the TV, you can't help but see an alcohol commercial. Wine just occurs every day, and that's okay. You can say a little white lie, and that's okay now. Man, I'm telling you, it's still a sin. You know what? A lie is an abomination to God, is what it is. It says lying lips is an abomination. That's the word of God right there. And you go every single day and you say, "Well, if I just say this because it will help me out and it will not hurt that person's feelings if I say a little white lie." I'm here to tell you that white lie is still a lie, but it's accepted. Man, I'll tell you, gay marriage is legal, and it's okay for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. As of the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Lord be. And that we're watching it. Rahab knew that her town was going to be destructed. She didn't sit back. I heard a message that Kellen Griffin Priest said he was talking about the thread, the scarlet thread that Rahab had. And I begin to think of the excitement that she had because she had the scarlet thread in her hair. And she knew that if she had that and she put it in her house was going to be saved. But she didn't have her father. She didn't have her mother. She didn't have her brethren in the house with her. So she had to go get them. I can imagine as she was going to go get her daddy, that she walked up to him and said, "Dad, I need you to come with me. I'll explain on the way. I've got a place." And you see that thread I'm hanging on my window. Amen. Jericho is about to fall. Amen. But I got this thread from the children of Israel. And they said, "As long as I have that, my home is safe." So I just want to share it with you. I just want to give you what I got. So I'm going to take you over here. I'm going to see you down to my house where it's safe. I got my daddy, but now I got to go get my mama. This is what we need. We need this burden. She knew that there was a time that was coming, when time was coming tonight, where your fans and family and everybody else is going to hell, but we're caught back and sitting back and getting lazy. But it's about time we get up and we go grab somebody. "Hey, Mama, this place is coming to an end. All the city and all the towns and all the buildings are going to fall down. The walls are going to fall down. But I don't want to leave you here like that. I want to give you hope that I got. You see that red thread standing over there hanging in my mirror? Whew. I'm going to let you take you into my house. I'm just going to share what I got with you. I gotta go get my brother. You say, well, this is you just trying to drag it out. No, I'm feeling something on it. I'm just going to keep doing it. Hey, Ben. You know, we don't always get along, brother, but I don't want to see you fall in the temptation to fall to the world and go to a place called hell because I didn't save you. I don't want you to end up in the destruction of Jericho by yourself. I got my mama and daddy over there already. I just want to get my brother in there with him. You see, I can't help but tell you about the scarlet thread that the children of Israel gave me. I just can't help myself. They said, as long as I keep it, I'm protected. I've got something right here. As long as I keep it, I'm protected. I just want to give that to you. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross for me and for you so that me and you can live forever. And it's not the chosen generation like some people believe. It's a whosoever will. So I want to walk you up to my house right here. And there's the thread I was talking to you about on the way here. They said we were going to be protected. He said, as long as we stayed in here, family, everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be all right. And I'm glad, thank God Almighty, that it ain't by me or nothing by me. It's by the scarlet blood that's in my heart and the man named Jesus that accepted me. I'm glad that when I got down on my knees to the knocking of the heart, he said, come on in. When I said, Lord, save me, I said, come on in. And he ran into my heart because he's willing to save the lost. That's what he's doing. But how many Rahabs do we have nowadays? Rahab's life turned to 360. She was a harlot, but then she was a winner for God. She won people's soul, but nowadays we got to look the part. We got to act the part, but we don't. We got to look and act it in here, but we walk out those doors and nobody sees Jesus in life anymore. Preacher, I thought this was going to be a good message, and all of a sudden you're going to preach on how we act and stuff, what we watch and what we do, what we say. What are you talking? Well, it worked back in the day. We've dropped the rope. When are we going to have another Elisha that comes up and just pleads for a double portion? Rahab wasn't lazy. Rahab knew the destruction that was about to come, and she decided to get busy. What are we doing? How many of your friends and family are going to hell, and you are too scared to talk to them about it? How many people do you cross every single day? The Holy Ghost smote my heart. It's like he punched my heart out while I was on the way going through Mars Hill College. And I was passing cars left and right. And I was passing people on the side of the road walking down. And the Holy Ghost looked at me and said, how many people are you passing right now that's got a home in hell waiting on them? And what are you doing about it? I'm not trying to change. I mean, I was starting to be able to preach, but I'm telling you, we got to quit being lazy. Get over the laziness and saying, well, I'm okay. You guys can go sit down. I'm okay. Everything's okay. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Now let me sit back until the Lord comes or until I die one. We got plenty of fruit to pick, but we ain't got no laborers. Who's going to get busy? And this is the part that I was most excited about. In verses number 15 through 17, it says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. The Lord hath given you the city. Now I'm going to ask just a couple of people to help me. Lee, you can stand up here and help me. Blake and Cameron, come up here. And what I want you guys to do is I want you to just start walking. Once they get up here, Lee, just start walking around. Just walk around this one little pew right here. And whenever you get here, you yell 1, 2, 3, 4 to let me know what one you're on. And when they get to the seventh one, I'm going to need everybody's help. I'm going to make you guys shout a little bit this morning. Is that okay? They're going to start as they're walking. This is what the children of Jericho are seeing. The first 6 days they were looking out and they see him pass once and it got old. They said, well, we ain't got nothing to worry about. They already passed us once today. There ain't nothing going to happen. But on the seventh day, they got by one and they said one and they're like, oh my goodness, they're going again. What's going on? The time is coming nigh. Why aren't they leaving? Why ain't they going back to their camp? What's going on? What's happening? And this is where we're at in today's society. This is what's happening. God Himself is walking around the earth saying He's counting down the days. What number is He on? What lap is He on? Whenever He says, I'm ready to go get up, He's counting down the days and they're on lap number 2 now. And the children of Israel sit back looking through all the cracks and all the gates of it saying, why are they still walking? They could feel the fear. They could feel the fear inside of them. I see Rahab standing up and, whoo, it's almost time to go home. It's almost time for me to get out of this fretful place. I don't know what number they're on. They're not yelling really loud. But I don't know. But that's how Rahab was doing it. Rahab was excited while the other people was fretful. She said, Daddy, will you go check the thread in my window to make sure it's still there? Will you check it and make sure that it ain't fell out? Because it's coming today. We don't know when it could come today. But are you ready? Are you truly ready? When the day is dawned and the time has come and God Himself looks over and says, Jesus, go get your bride. Are you truly ready? What kind of scarlet you got on the inside? There's a kind of scarlet that's real and there's a kind of scarlet that you put in there yourself and makes it look fake. You might act it. You might try to act it. You might try to talk it. But I'm telling you, if you don't have the true blood, the true scarlet of Jesus Christ, man, I'm telling you, you ain't going anywhere. They're on their last lap. They're on their last lap. And it's all about to get real. Everything's about to happen. Everybody's about to hear a big old shout. It's about to happen. They're on their last lap. It's done. Whoa! I'm telling you, victory come now. And then all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, you guys can be seated. Out of the middle of nowhere, the quiet breaks. The shouting's still going on. I should have had this ready before. The shouting's still going on and everything seems like it's all right. And then all of a sudden, you hear, I'm not going to be able to find it, but you're going to hear the trumpet. I had it played on my phone. You're going to hear the trumpet, the shofar horn go off. About that time, the shofar horn and the building's collapsing. The walls around it's just going straight down. I believe Rahab looked out her window that was sitting along the edge. She said, Daddy, Mama, it's time. All we got to do is sit and wait now, and then they're going to come get us, and it's going to get a whole lot better. When the last trump sounds, this is going to be us. We're looking out, we see, and that whole graveyard erupts with bodies going up to Jesus. We look up in the sky to the east, and we see Jesus standing on the cloud, and we hear the mighty great trumpet of Him blowing it. In the great shout. It ain't going to be no quiet one. It ain't going to be no, yes, I'm finally going home. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but I'm going to shout my brains out until He gets us. Ain't we all? I'm telling you, she said, I'm finally going home. And then once we get up to the cloud and we see Jesus, when we see Jesus for the first time and we say, oh God, we get down on our knees. We look up at Him and we say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy. And the whole time we're saying that, He says, see that hole right there?
See that one?
Amen.
I've done that for you. You'll be walking down the streets of gold. Instead of having a normal purse in your hand, you're going to be holding the hand of Jesus. Walking along saying, hey, you see that mess over there? That's for you. And the whole time, you ain't going to be paying attention to what he's showing you, because all you're going to be doing is looking at him. Because that's the first time that we've seen Jesus face to face. That's the first time that you're going to see the Savior. And I'm just talking to the saved people. You can sit down. I'm just talking to the saved people here. The first time that you're going to see the Savior in your whole life. And it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a glorious day. It'll be probably the best day in your whole life, because you're seeing him for the first time. But I wish the story stopped there. But in Jericho, there was utter destruction besides Rahab. I know that it was getting happy and it was getting good. But I'm telling you, the story don't stop at Rahab leaving. Everybody else in Jericho died. We have life and everlasting life. There's no death in between there. But for the lost people, you have life, you die, and then the death of the grave, man, it destroys you, and there you go, plummeting into hell. It ain't always happy, and it's not always, the story's not always happy. I know that Jesus Christ is away, but this is where it gets a little sad for me, because everybody else in Jericho that Rahab didn't get, or Rahab didn't have time to get, was going to a place called hell. And I'm telling you, that place is just as real as heaven. And I believe that we lost sight of how real hell is, and how horrible, and how the place called torment, and how miserable that it is. We've lost that in our sight. But if you're lost here today, there ain't no, when the trump sounds, you're going to be left behind. Saying, oh God, I went to Eric and Brett's that one morning. I sat in the pew my whole life and I listened to good preaching my whole life. Why am I still here? There's going to be people that just come to church one day saying, I knew I should have heeded to the call, whatever he started pricking my heart, whatever I felt in my inside. I should have went up there and got what they called was getting saved. You're going to have people like that. But I'm here to tell you that I'm glad that it's a whosoever will. I'm glad that it don't matter who you are, what color you are, how you act, or what you do. You ain't going to change your ways before you get saved. You ain't going to try. I've heard that several times. I need to fix my ways before I ever try to go to church. Hey, Bubba, that ain't never going to happen. I'm telling you, there's only one man that can flip your world upside down, and his name is Jesus. And I came here on one purpose this morning. It's to preach Jesus the best that I can, because he's the reason that I got hope. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lamb of God. And he's the spotless lamb that took the cross for me and for you. You can say, well, preacher, I'm too afraid that people's going to look at me because I've sat here too long. How about you throw that pride aside and get right with Jesus? Nobody's going to look at you any different. You say, well, preacher, I just want to wait. And this is how young people think. I just want to wait and live my life and wait till I get older. And then I'll do it. One of my buddies in high school was 22 years old. And he didn't make it to see his 50s. We're not promised, but if the trump sounds today, if we hear that trumpet blowing, and it's blowing loud, and the man behind it is Jesus, which place are you going? Are you going to be with him? Or are you going to go to a place of torment? A place that's, I don't want anybody to go, I'm telling you. I'm trying to preach with love. That's the only way Jesus showed me with love. A place called hell is not a party place. It's not a place for where all the rock stars go and they have the big band, the big rock concert. That's not what it is, and that's, people's confused and believe that now. What you're going to hear is screeching and screaming of people bumping into each other in so much pain that they just want to get away, and they're napping a teeth, gnashing a teeth, biting one another, going at one another as hard as they can, and they're in misery. They just want to burn out and they want to die, but it's going to go on for eternity as a big circle just going down, going deeper and deeper into the bottomless pit of hell. I don't want that for you. I just know the fix, and I just want to give you the remedy this morning. We don't know when. We don't know what time. We don't know where we're going to be. But when we finally hear the noise of the trumpet, which place are you going?